You are listening to the Christian Manifesto Roundtable Podcast, discussing life, culture, and young faith amongst ourselves and occasionally with our friends.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into our second episode of the TCM Roundtable Podcast. Today we have with us Adrian Johnson. Say hi, Adrian.
Hey.
And welcome back to the line, James Arnold.
Hey, everyone.
And last but certainly not least, we have Nick Ahern. Say hi, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
And there's his thing again. It would not be the same without him actually saying hi. And as you all know, I'm C.E. John Moore. And this time around, we had a great conversation our first time around, and we wanted to pick something where we just kind of shoot the breeze, but it seems like controversial things just keep coming up. And an article that was written a couple of years ago, actually, was picked up on Reddit, which is kind of an aggregator for lots of different things that you can read on the internet. And to get on the front page is apparently like a pretty big deal. And so this article a couple of years ago that was written by a guy by the name of Andrew Marin, who runs the Marin Foundation, the name of the article was "I Hugged a Man in His Underwear," and I am proud. Yeah, I hugged a man in his underwear, and I am proud. A little background on Marin. He runs a foundation that basically he moved into an area where it's a high homosexual community. Lots of homosexuals living in the community, and he believed that God was calling him to move into that area and to begin reconciling with homosexual community. And one of the things that he did, and what this article is about, is he went to a gay pride parade, and they were wearing shirts that said, I'm sorry that Christians judge you, I'm sorry the way churches have treated you, I used to be a Bible-banging homophobe, sorry, and people at the parade kind of saw these shirts, saw what they were, you know, and kind of didn't quite understand at first, but then got it, and ran up and just started hugging Andrew Marin and the people who were there, and there's this picture of Andrew Marin hugging this guy wearing these basic, you know, white booty short underwear, and that's all he's wearing at this gay pride parade. And so the issue came up for me as I was seeing it come up on people's Facebook pages today saying this is exactly what the church needs to be about, and it raised a question for me, a couple questions, and we're going to bat that around today. Can one individual apologize on behalf of the church?
Well, if you're Protestant, sure.
I thought that only worked if you're Catholic.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that. I'm literally still waiting for the article to load. It's been 45 minutes. The article still has not loaded. I've refreshed it like 10 times. So I am no authority to actually ask on this question. Hopefully it loads before my phone battery dies or the interview ends. So.
Well, I mean, essentially that's, unfortunately I haven't been able to read the article like you just said, but essentially that's what the article, and they go and they're basically apologizing. Total strangers. They're strangers to these people. And they are saying, you know, I'm sorry for the how the church has treated you. I'm sorry for, you know, this. And so that brings up the question of, you know, can one individual go out and apologize on behalf of the church? And what does it mean when you're apologizing? Because I can go out and apologize and say, man, Fred Phelps should not be saying God hates fags. I am sorry that hurt you. But I don't take responsibility for Fred Phelps. There's a difference there. And I'm wondering if that difference is being seen in what Andrew Marin and the Marin Foundation are doing. Is it absolving people who need to be apologizing? Let's say I've never done anything wrong to gay people. Let's say I've never done anything wrong.
I think it's more now so apologizing for the church as an entity, because a lot of times people who are, and I'm going to say for this illustration, people who are homosexual, who have that orientation, have looked at the church as an entity. You say, I'm a Christian, and they say, well, you hate me. Because that's what they see as the church as a whole, not my church, not your church. You know, your church, may be completely sympathetic, but they see church as a whole and Christians as a whole in this light, because a few very, very loud people have given this impression, have said, God hates fags. That's what they see. And so I say, I'm a Christian, and they say, well, God hates fags, so you must hate me because you are with God. And unless they know me, you know, or they know anything about me, just as a stranger introducing myself, they lump me in with the church. So I think, yeah, I think that we do have the authority to say, you know what, I'm sorry if you think that that's what the church has done to you, or if this is what the church has done to you. I think that we do have that authority because we are all lumped into this giant conglomeration of the church.
Okay.
There we go. I'm right here. So what does it actually mean to apologize if you're not the offender? Like, that still hits me as strange. Like, I mean, I can go apologize for the terrible things that people have said, but that's not going to, for one, it's not going to stop the terrible people from saying terrible things. No matter how many times I apologize for the people who say God hates fags, tomorrow someone's going to say it. It's just a reality at this point. And a lot of what an apology is this reconciliation and this hope of becoming better. And maybe the apology fixes the image. Maybe I'm helping fix an image of the church that people have.
Is it really, to me, it's almost not genuine. It's almost like saying, like you just said, okay, these bad people are still going to be out there. Fred Buff's still going to be picketing, you know, gay pride parades and you know, Marine Corps funerals and all these things, regardless of your apology for him. So is an apology really, to me, it almost seems like an apology is kind of like, it's not necessarily saying, man, I'm sorry that Fred Phelps made you feel that way. It's, look at me, I'm not like Fred Phelps. I'm different than Fred Phelps. I'm better than Fred Phelps. I'm not like, it's almost like the Pharisees are like, thank God that I am not a woman or a tax collector or a sinner, you know. So to me, it's not completely genuine. It's trying to differentiate, and we should differentiate, but I think it's differentiating in a way that is not completely honest, because that apology, I mean, in some cases you have nothing to apologize for, and you can't apologize for someone who is not repentant for what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, that becomes tricky, because I feel like it's difficult. Like, I want to push back a little bit and say that I'm not sure that I would jump to the point of saying that this is comparable to that old Pharisee prayer, because it may be that way. Like, I don't want to say it isn't ever. It may be a look at me and look at me being better than that church. It may also be look at the church. It may also be look at the church more properly. It could be entirely motivated and even acted out, because, you know, as individuals, as part of the body of Christ, I mean, we're representative of the church. Maybe it isn't a look at me. Maybe it's a look at the church and look at how the church should be handling this issue. And we're sorry for us that are handling the issue badly.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Go ahead, Adrian.
I see it too, like, the church is a family. And if I, okay, in my family, I have a grandfather that, God rest his soul, was incredibly racist. And so if I brought somebody over, and my grandpa is saying the N-word here and there, and that person is African-American, then I would apologize. You know what? I'm sorry, is he apologetic? No, not even remotely. Yeah, well, yes, later on in life. But, you know, for this case, if he's not apologetic, I would still apologize for my family. I'm sorry, this is not how we are. We are not all racist. There is one member of our family, very loud, very racist. I apologize for that. That's not right. You shouldn't have to be subjected to that.
Yeah, well, in that case, I'm like, dude, I already know that about you. I mean, I know that because you invited me. We hang out. We're friends. You don't have to apologize. My thought would be he needs to apologize. He needs to apologize for what he's saying. I mean, I also, you know, have learned to just cut my losses and know that some people are never going to change, and so I'm never going to expect an apology. But to me, I'd almost get mad that you were apologizing. Like, why are you apologizing? I know you're my friend. I know you care about me. And maybe that's where it's different than this, because Marin is a stranger to these people. He doesn't, I mean, but now he lives in and among them. But at that point, you know, he's a stranger to these people who are walking by. And maybe that's where the power lies, is it's strangers. But another question that comes up out of it is the apology. What, again, is being apologized for? Because there are people who cannot reconcile God with their lifestyle. They look at Scripture, and regardless of how you interpret it, there are different interpretations of this now, but can't get around the fact that God calls homosexuality a sin. And so when someone shows up and says, I apologize, are people on the other side hearing, I apologize for the church saying exactly what the Bible says? Like, people say that the church is evil. I mean, if you listen to the rhetoric right now, the church is evil. They shouldn't be saying this. The government should come in and change it. They came in and changed it when churches were teaching that racism was okay. So the government should be able to come in and say that, you know, churches should not be able to talk about homophobia or shouldn't be able to teach about homosexuality because they're all homophobic. And so I look at this and I'm going, if you say, I apologize, are you apologizing for mistreating gay people in the name of the gospel? That's one thing. Like, Fred Phelps is like, I'm doing this for the gospel, and he's actually bringing the gospel to shame. Or are you apologizing that the Bible calls it a sin? Because the former is proper, but the latter says that God is wrong and their hurt feelings are right.
I would be apologizing on behalf of how people have treated them. Like, not so much what the Bible says, if they want to get into a discussion about it, but more so how they've been treated by people like that, how they've been treated wrongly, I mean, I could get more into how I feel about homosexuality, but I'm doing peace on it, so
right.
I'm saving that.
By the way, I'm on Twitter right now, and it says, Andrew Marin just tweeted, it's the most recent tweet, 742,000 plus views in 11 hours since this picture was posted on Reddit by someone he doesn't even know. So
yeah.
I'm looking at the picture right now. But yeah, a lot of people are reading this, so we're talking about it in a timely manner.
Nick,
but Nick.
We lose Nick.
Nick, are
no,
you
I'm here. I'm here.
Give some thoughts. What are your thoughts?
It's a difficult thing, like I met with a friend of mine who is actively gay, and we had a sit down at a local coffee shop for, you know, 5 hours just talking about it, and it came up, you know, and everything just kind of came up. But I never felt the need to apologize to him for how the church treated him, mostly because, I don't know, I guess the big thing is living as a Christian made me not feel the need to apologize, because I wasn't living as everyone else, or at least, you know, the fringe of the fringe of Christian, you know, Christendom was living. And so I never felt the need to apologize for how the church treated gay folk, because my friend knew that I didn't feel that way or view them in that way. I mean, I still didn't agree with his lifestyle. We made that clear in our conversation, but I don't know. I guess for me it was very cathartic not to have to be on my toes to apologize to, you know, to apologize to everything. Because that did cross my mind. Do I have to apologize for this? Then I realized, like, no, I don't feel like I need to apologize for this, because, I don't know, he knows me now and I know him, and it's just kind of one of the things you, like Calvin kind of mentioned, you know? Like, if the church did something, the church should apologize, but I don't feel like I need to apologize for the church because I'm not living like that.
Right.
And so it's kind of that idea of, you break the stereotype by living as, I would say, true Christian, you know, true Christian, or kingdom living, you know, Greg Boyd's favorite thing. And so in living that way, you kind of almost negate the need to apologize, because I wouldn't say that's not entirely true. I don't know. For me, I just never felt the pressure nor the tug of the Holy Spirit, if you would, to apologize. It was just, I'm living like this, and I don't feel the need to apologize, because I guess Calvin said it perfectly. We're friends. you know. So you kind of get, I don't know, just thinking about that more, just, I don't know, it put it in perspective in that, yeah, I don't know.
I did say sense? It perfectly, didn't I?
No, not all
you
man.
Are perfect. Now, does that make
don't
sense?
Don't let his ego
like,
get too big. Come
no,
on,
no,
you
that,
guys.
That does make sense. But that brings up the next question, and let's try to be brief on this one, but the issue of reconciliation. I do believe, regardless of my thoughts of whether you can apologize for someone else, I think what Marin is doing opens up dialogue and opens up the beginning of the possibility of reconciliation. Marin says this is reconciliation. I disagree with that because I believe ultimately reconciliation. I mean, this is. I wonder if he's talking about reconciliation between man and man or man and church or man and God. I'm not quite sure the way he talks about it in this article. I wish you'd been able to read it, Nick. But he talks about reconciliation, and I'm like, I'm not sure whether he's talking about reconciliation with man and man or man and church and or man and God, because I think this is the beginning and opening the door for conversations with people who think God has completely shut them out and can never hear them because of what they're doing. I mean, sin is, you know, part of what they're doing, but I also believe that sin is a victimizer. As much as people live in wanton sin, I also believe they are being victimized by it and don't even realize it. So in that sense, I think that opening the door to dialogue of God still wanting to take away this sin that is victimizing you is a good thing rather than just leaving them in a place where they assume that God wants nothing to do with them. But I feel like, in a way, he's saying that they are already reconciled to God. Which means, you know, I don't know that your hug accomplished that. I don't.
I think that you're right. I think that it is as much as I hate to admit that you are right. I think that it does open the door, because if it would be one of the things if, like, I have friends that are openly gay, I have friends that are closeted gay. I have friends that have chosen me to be the person that they come out to. So it's kind of a conglomeration of things where it's like, I don't feel the need to apologize and continue apologizing to live my life in an apologetic manner to these people. But I feel like if I were to meet somebody, and we do street ministry here, and if I were to meet somebody and they say, well, who are you to talk to me, you know, you don't like me because I'm gay, I'm sorry if you feel that way. I'm sorry that the church has made you feel that way. I have no problem with you right now. You know, let's talk. And it opens up the dialogue. But me Bible thumping at them just does nothing more than further close them off. And say, okay, well, I guess God hates me, never mind, I'm done. You know, whereas my lifestyle might change their mind, or it might not, or, but the least I can do is love them.
Wait, well, they've already heard the Bible verses, right? Like that,
right.
That almost seems like a useless rhetoric anyway, because it's not like those, like, for better or worse, at least the people who are throwing all this hate at them are also throwing Bible verses, which there's a lot of problems with that, and I don't want to be defending them at all, but we don't need to be pointing out, hey, just so you know, the Bible does say you're a sinner and you're going to hell. But they already know what we believe on that, right? Like, it's not a useful discussion, but so I do think it sounds like you've got a good approach to it, where you're not, you know, Bible thumping at them again. They've already gotten that. At this point, it may be an apologetic sentiment towards them, but if nothing else, it's a, let me show you that those three Bible verses do not define how I interact with you. Let me show you that those passages, even though I believe them and even though I stand by them, they're not the thing that I'm going to base my entire relationship with you on. Mm-hmm. They're not something that we feel like we need to make our primary bridge to interact with anyone, really.
And you know, I think one of the things I heard a long time ago, I can't remember which author it was that said this, but and this was revolutionary for me to hear at the time, because I did treat people, I did treat sinners as sinners, as almost like lepers. And one of the things this author said was, you should never expect Christian behavior from non-Christians. And that, for me, allowed me to look at things through a whole other lens. I ended up working with a guy at a movie theater. His name was Daryl, and he was gay, like, you know, the flamboyant gay. It wasn't like the, you know, the secret, like, wow, that guy's gay, I would have never known. This was, you knew he was gay. And when it came to work at my job, everybody knew that I was the outspoken Christian. Like, if they had Bible questions, they came to me. And we had a lot of downtime because it was a movie theater. It only had four theaters, so we actually had, you know, downtime between screenings. And
that is the greatest job, by the way.
Huh?
I worked at a theater for 3 years, too. That is the world's greatest job.
Yes, it is. I love working at a theater. We can have another podcast about that.
Oh, yeah.
But,
by the way, my phone is doing the die BP thing, so if I drop off, y'all know
okay,
what happened.
Cool. We'll close it out here in just a sec. But, you know, I worked with this guy, and everybody assumed, man, this guy's gay. They told us before he came by, they actually sat me down in the office because they knew I was Christian, and they said, hey, look, we just want you to know this guy Daryl's coming in. He is openly gay. We don't want there to be any issues between him. I thought it was really nice. I think it was illegal for them to do that, but whatever. But it was really nice, and it prepared me. And he showed up, and everybody assumed I was going to go crazy on this guy. And somebody else ended up going crazy on him, one of our other coworkers, not because he was gay, but just went off on him. And the first statement someone made was, man, I thought Calvin would be the person to go off on him. But it turns out we ended up being really good friends. I actually ended up going to the gay club with him. I invited him to church. He didn't come to church with me. But, again, I felt like the gay community was more accepting of me, but he knew that my church would not be accepting of him, so I don't fault him on not coming. But I think that a lot of this has to take place in the context of friendship. And that's what I keep coming back to. That's what I think Adrian, I think that's what all of us have hit on, is this best takes place in the context of friendship. And when you're in the context of friendship, you don't feel that need to apologize in the I feel responsible sense versus, man, I'm sorry that someone else made you feel that way. You're not taking responsibility for that person. It's more of a figure of speech. But
yes.
We're gonna lose one of our participants. So I'm gonna close down shop. And thanks so much, guys, for being a part of our second podcast. And see if we can mix it up next time, get some other people on the line, and figure out a topic that is much less controversial. Because two times out, it's a bit much. I'm exhausted.
A little bit.
But hey, thanks so much for joining, and we will catch all of you guys next time. We have no idea what we're gonna talk about next time. But thanks so much for listening into the CCM Roundtable Podcast. Talk to you guys later.